What I pass around is kind of a daily affirmation. I start the day with this, and it just places the day in the context of spiritual calling. So I wanted to share it. Also, someone reminded me at the break that today is Star Wars Day, May 4th. May the Force be with you. Okay, so I just want to go back a minute to when we talked about the various archetypes. The way the human mind grasps something is usually through an image or a personification. An image of a mother holding a child will work in your psyche much stronger than the words "a mother holding a child." So throughout the ages, there has been a recurrent image that has captivated the imagination of people: a mother holding an infant. So ancient, pre-Christian images of Isis, the great mother goddess of Egypt, she is shown holding her infant son, Horus. And then in our own tradition, Mary is shown holding the infant Jesus. But even when the Romans arrived in England, they noticed images of the goddess mother holding or nursing a little child. So it appears in all traditions. So that's the image. Image of a wise guide, image of a father, image of a hero, image of a villain. And the other thing we do to help us make contact with the energies in us is to personify them. That personify in Latin means to make into a person. So you can personify the wise guide seeing the picture or seeing the person of Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's the personification of the wisdom that is in everyone. Mary personifies the mother archetype. God the Father, Yahweh, personifies the father energy, etc. So hero would be either Luke or Dorothy. When you see them made into persons, you will grasp it better. You'll be able to understand it better than an abstract term. Villain, you can picture the witch in the Wizard of Oz, or the Darth Vader in the Star Wars story. The only problem with the personifications and the images, first, regarding the personifications, we then tend to separate ourselves from the energy that they represent. So we think, oh, Obi-Wan Kenobi, wow, he sure is wise, and look at all the good advice he gives, and he can also teach Luke how to use that sword. I'm not like that. I don't have that going for me. I'm just a 90-pound weakling. So that's the problem with the personification. oh, Mother Teresa, and she's dressed like that, she looks like that, and there she is with the poorest of the poor. Oh, I don't have that in me. She's the saint and I'm not. So that's the problem with personification. We tend to turn it into a message to ourselves about our inadequacy. And then regarding the image, it can turn into idolatry, where you're worshiping the image rather than the actual, rather than acknowledging the energy and venerating it, both in the world around us and in ourselves. So the two ways that we have of understanding the inner and outer world of the psyche could get in the way of our appreciating our own powers. Each one of these archetypes, mother, father, hero, and so forth, these are all powers inside of us that are waiting to be expressed so that we can become complete and show the wholeness that's in us. What does wholeness mean? That we have the entire pantheon of the archetypes inside of us, and that we want to use them in ways that will create a world of justice, peace, and love. And secondly, that becomes our actual calling. Now, sometimes an archetype, such as the archetype of the divine feminine, which is our overall topic, falls into the hands of patriarchy that finds it very suspicious and threatening. Don't like female having all this power. So what they will do is they will take that archetype of the strong divine feminine and they will start reducing it so that it becomes, shall we say, less powerful and not quite as feminine as it's meant to be. So they will present you an image of divine feminine, but she has no breasts. She's covered from head to toe. She has no erotic side. Pardon?
Or wimpy.
Or she has a wimpy kind of look. You know the images I'm referring to. So they kind of de-feminize the basic archetype so that it won't have its full power. So now what's happened is the archetype has fallen into a political situation in which the male, the patriarchal style does not allow the archetype its full vision and extent. And that's what happens with us and Mary.
Don't they also eroticize some of it? Are you just talking about Mary?
Mary. Yeah. So if you take a look at your book, I read that book, The Secret Life of Bees. Maybe some of you have read it. I think I have it at the beginning of chapter 1. Yeah, on page 9, for those who have the book. And the topic of our chapter is Who is Mary? Which is what we're talking about today. She is a muscle of love. See, we didn't hear that in our childhood. We didn't hear the word muscle.
Yeah.
Muscle goes with men. But she says she is a muscle of love. I feel her in unexpected moments. Her assumption into heaven is happening in places inside me. That's what they were supposed to tell us. They weren't supposed to say, oh, she ascended body and soul into heaven because she's too pure to be buried in the earth. They should have said, you see that picture of a woman going up into heaven? In other words, someone whose lifetime has come to an end, so she's now connecting earth and heaven and will continue to help us from a different realm than the mortal earthly one. They were supposed to point to that picture and say to us, that's you. That's your destiny. You're here, and then someday you will have a new kind of life and you'll be able to help all the rest of us who are still here. She suddenly rises, and when she does not go up into the sky, but further and further inside me. Point to the picture and say, you see how it looks like she's going up? Actually, she's going into what? Into you. So that you could have that, so you could recognize that same power is in you. She goes into all the holes life has gouged out. That's very different from the, you know, what we were taught and the way we were taught. I have here on page 4, there's an image of Mary from Central America showing her with dark skin. We didn't see that either. She was very white. Under the title of The Mother of the Disappeared, she is representing the mothers of those who were kidnapped and killed. Mary is the archetype of help before, during, and after injustice. Our challenge is to ask for more and more from her, protector of the helpless. This allows the archetype of the divine feminine to evolve more fully in ourselves. She was always complete, but each century reveals more of who she is and what she can be for us. She's the champion, the fierce tigress for justice. She didn't look that way in the pictures we were shown. This is the opposite of the unattainable, the remote Madonna in traditional iconography. These images keep her in her place rather than acknowledge that her place is everywhere. That's what the unenlightened, patriarchal, hierarchical style that we see in so many religions, that's what it doesn't quite get. It doesn't quite get that the feminine isn't something to be afraid of. It's something to be embraced and found in ourselves. My friend Alice McDonald had a little prayer that she used. I wrote it down because I thought, oh, well, this prayer kind of shows the aspects of the divine feminine that I'm talking about. May I be able to know myself, be who I am in the world, and express that power without fear. May I be able to know myself. No, honor. Sorry. can't read my own writing. May I be able to honor myself, be who I am in the world, and express that power without fear. This is the Mary of our time. So a devotion to Mary doesn't last if it stays with the old 1950s style. You're going to let that go because that doesn't work for you. You want the kind of Mary that we're talking about here, which has the fearless bigness that is nothing to be afraid of, but something to turn to because it can help us. Now, when we say turn to Mary, from the point of view of a divine feminine that is both around us, now we're saying around instead of above, this divine feminine power around us and in us. So now when we say turn to Mary, we mean two things. Originally, we thought it meant turn to the one who can help us. She's up there in the sky. She's looking down. She's showering blessings on us. Ask for one of those blessings. Okay. But now we're going to open it up. Now we're going to say, to turn to Mary is not only that. It's not only to turn to the one who is around us and wants to help us. It's to turn to the powers in ourselves that are resources to help us that we never accessed because we just didn't believe we had those kind of powers. We put so much of our sense of power into these personifications and images that were presented to us in stories and fairy tales and religious iconography all our lives. We didn't quite get it that, well, those are all pictures of what's in me. When we were looking at those statues of various saints, we were actually looking into mirrors of what's inside of us. And I use the example in the book from my own experience. There's a statue of Our Lady of Fatima, and she's called a pilgrim. She's a pilgrim statue because she doesn't have one place where she's in some kind of a shrine. She is brought from country to country all year long. She's a pilgrim of peace. So, in the year 2000, I was in Rome, and that was the year in which this statue would be in Rome, in St. Peter's Basilica. So I went to the... there were thousands of people waiting in line. And I went because I wanted to honor the image of Our Lady as Pilgrim of Peace. And there were so many people that you couldn't just stop and, you know, be with her. You had to keep that line moving because it was going to be going all day long, every day. There were that many people. And so I was in line, and you just kind of look at her and say your prayer and keep going. So I did that, and she's very beautiful. She's all in white. There were flowers all around her. She's not life size. She's like about half the size of a person. And I was very moved. I had a lot of strong feeling. Strong feeling is the sign that you're getting in touch with an archetypal presence. I had that feeling. And, you know, I was looking at her as I was walking by. And then, for some reason, I turned, after I passed her by, I turned and looked back to see her once more. And when I turned and looked back to see her once more, I don't know where it came from. There was a moment of sudden enlightenment. I heard myself say, "That is in you." I was just struck, like I just couldn't imagine that I would ever say something like that. But I suddenly got it. I thought, that is beautiful and comforting and meaningful because it's in me and in all these people. If you're going to look at it as a separate statue, you will never appreciate the meaning. But when suddenly you get it, that, oh, that's in me, that's part of me, in that moment you really make the connection and you see that to turn to Mary is not only to turn to some divine presence, but also look in yourself to see where you have the kind of power you're asking for, where you have those healing possibilities that you're looking for in Mary. Otherwise, she's not an archetype. She's just a personification of one, if you see what I mean. And the interesting thing that I'll just follow up with this is in high school, of course, I took Latin for 4 years, preparation for the priesthood. And in the fourth year, we read the beautiful poem called The Aeneid by Virgil, written in pre and early Christian times. And the main character is Aeneas. He is a Trojan prince, and he has a mortal father, Anchises, and a divine mother, Venus, who was called the Mother of Rome. That was her title. So at one point, the hero, so the Aeneid is the story of his travels from Troy to Rome. And in these travels, he has to make contact with his father in the underworld. In other words, he has to go deep into the unconscious to contact the Father Wisdom. And he doesn't know how to get there. He's in the forest alone, and suddenly he sees a huntress, a woman with a bow and arrow, and she's dressed as a woman who's out there hunting. She has a little conversation with him, and he tells her that he's trying to find a way to the underworld, and she produces twin doves. She says, "You follow these doves, they will take you to a sacred oak tree. In that sacred oak tree is a golden bough. One of the boughs you will take, that's your key to the deep underworld." He's very happy. He's very thankful. He follows her advice. She turns to go back to her hunting. He turns and takes one more look at her as she's leaving. And by mistake, her collar came a little loose and revealed the back of her neck, which Virgil describes in a beautiful poetic way, calling it somehow loosened, full of light. When he sees the light coming from the back of her neck, he suddenly realizes, oh, that's my mother. That's the goddess Venus. She came to help me. So later when I thought about my experience, I thought, I turned, that's the same thing that happened in the story. Isn't that an interesting archetypal connection? It was a beautiful moment.
I just couldn't sit in my chair any longer. I have this... Oh, sorry. I just have this feeling in my heart. It's so big. And this is what happened. It happened this morning. After reading the book, you know, Dave, that for the last 3 years, I quit my job 3 years ago, and I have been just self-reflecting, reading all the books and everything. And the theme of my search was self-love. I have a spiritual mentor that I speak to once a week. And in the beginning, this started when I left, and she said to me, Patricia, how come you can't love yourself the way I love you, the way your friends love you? And I'm telling you, that drove me crazy, because to me, I didn't know what she was talking about. Every time someone mentioned self-love, I would be like, well, what do you want me to do, take a bubble bath, or I'll go to the spa, or what? I really, truly didn't know what people were talking about. So 3 years later, with all my search for what is self-love, I got to the point where, when I was speaking to her, I said, I just realized the other day, I never stopped talking to myself in my mind. My mind never stops. And I'll be washing the dishes, and I'm talking to myself, then I'm going to go get my pills, and then I'm going to go do this, and then I'll go do that. And I saw it. I really saw it. Like, for the first time, it never stops. Then I read something that said, it's okay, the positive things that your mind is saying. It's the negative things. Because the negative things are usually about ourselves. Mm-hmm. So here's what happened yesterday. I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to go see Dave. Gee, I've had the book a year. I think I better start reading it. You know, so I'm reading it. I'm making my notes. And it came to me about the mother. And it just was kind of sunk in. Mother love. I said, well, maybe that's it. I have to love myself like a mother. But I still didn't quite get what it was. So last night, my husband said something to me, which, you know, it was nothing. But to me, it was like a criticism. So I take it in. Oh, all right. Now, how can I talk to him and tell him that, you know, I try not to react now, you know. I'm thinking about, well, I'm going to call my mentor in the morning and ask her, what words can I use to say to him, you know, that hurts my feelings, or just really, what I was really thinking was, he shouldn't say that anymore. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't really like hurt my feelings. It was more like, why does he say that? And it just makes me feel so bad. So anyway, I wake up this morning and I go and I sit in meditation. And I'm sitting in meditation, and all of a sudden, I'm doing the same thing. I can't meditate. I'm going to call her. I'm going to call her and say, what can I say to him? Because I just have to stop him. He just can't talk to me that way anymore. And all of a sudden, I remember, and it goes to that point. I had to write it down. You know, I always wanted to be a saint. My whole life, Catholic, oh my God. And I could never accept the fact that I didn't become a saint and Jesus never appeared to me. I never could accept that. So I remember, so accepting, listen to this, the afflicting force, right? So all of a sudden, and it's amazing, this morning I'm there and I remember I have a godchild, this little boy. And when he was little, like 2 years old, I was with him and his mother, and he said something to his mother that was whatever he said, nasty or whatever. It was nothing. And I said, oh, how could you talk to your mother that way? That's no way. And this little boy broke down in tears. And all of a sudden, I got it this morning. I was being the afflicted. Then I saw the afflictive force to that little boy. But I was the little boy this morning when I see what my husband said to me caused me to feel like that little boy. And I saw myself as that child within. Everybody talks about the child within. And all of a sudden, my mind became the mother, the Mary. All of a sudden, I became that figure to myself, the child. Because I never understood when they said, oh, love yourself, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, I really and truly, a force came in that said, oh, come here, honey. I didn't mean to say that to you. You know, I was like myself. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I started to love, I understood, love that child. And it was like, oh my God, that's the role of the mind. You see, I read once that the mind was the forester and that we are the forest. And the role of the mind is to be the forester to the forest. So now I understand. I know what it feels like to mother, to love myself, if I can say that. I did it through your image, Dave.
Thank you.
The mother. And now I have it. I can do it. And the one thing I was saying to myself after I was loving myself, I was saying to the child within me, I've got your back. I'm always here. I've got your back. You're not alone anymore. So my mind is doing its job.
Mm. Yes, it is.
And thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
So much.
Thanks, Patricia. Very touching. And she is making a good point. Hold it one second, Chair. That when they showed us the picture of Mother Mary tenderly holding the child Jesus, which you see on the cover of your book, they could have said, you need to hold yourself like that. Instead of, there's somebody up there who wants to hold you like this, you can hold yourself like this. So that's what's meant by the archetypal experience of Mary or of the Divine Feminine. That you find everything that it represents in yourself. Terry.
I'm very grateful to Alice McDonald for her words, turn to Mary and to the power in ourselves. I suspect that I'm not the only woman in the room here who was a tomboy and played all kinds of sports. And I remember so well that in high school we could only go halfway on the court. We were not strong enough to go the full way. And it was just ridiculous. But we didn't challenge it. Those were just the rules. And I was quite a tomboy, and my mother didn't like that. And she wanted me to be, you know, in TikTokers and all those other kinds of things. And when I decided to go into the convent in 1961, it was because the nuns validated me, and I could see that a woman could do something in the world, like be a teacher. And it was only when Cardinal McIntyre kicked us out of 44 schools and 3 hospitals that I left, because I thought I can still be a teacher in a public school. But just the fact of, and I think many people in the room respond to this, that we were not valued as women for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm. And still not. Thank you, Terry. And that's not only from the church, that's also happening in the political realm, too.
I was a tomboy. I played women's sports. But do you remember? I mean, this was real interesting. There was one point where we could decide who would be a roving player,
right,
who could cross the line, and that was the stronger basketball player. I found that interesting while you were talking. So someone noticed that we needed to send out the forces. Yeah.
Well, Well, thank you for all these powerful and empowering statements.
We have a women's basketball team here.
Well, our time is coming up, is running out, so I'm just going to end by saying I have a short something to read from the book, but I also want to say that I can really feel this field of energy that Judith mentioned in the room, that we're all getting the sense of this wonderful power that's around us and in us. Don't ever say a prayer to some saint, God, whoever, without at the same time looking within to see how that resource that you're asking for is also somehow in yourself. Don't let that source of miracle only be coming from somewhere outside. That's what archetype is about. All these images of gods and saints were drawings that came from a deep look into what the inside of the human psyche looks like. That's where they came from. They did not come from somewhere out in space. Over the centuries, people looked farther into who we humans are than most of us ever do, and noticed powers that are vast and cosmic in ourselves, and then started to express these in images and personifications that gradually gained a life of their own, separated off from us, and here we are bowing to them, when actually they are reflecting what's inside of us. That is a good summary of all we talked about today. Make sense to everybody? And I want to end with this quotation at the end of your first chapter. So if you could read the first and second chapter for next time, that will help us. Second chapter is very short, so if you want to read some of the third, that's fine too. So I'm on page 21. This is Rhianne Eisler. She wrote The Chalice and the Blade, and this is a quote from it. And she's a great scholar, and I really was very moved by this little quotation of hers. The tenacity with which for millennia of Western history both men and women have, in the figure of the Virgin Mary, clung to the veneration of a compassionate and merciful mother attests to the human hunger for such a reassuring image. This tenacity only becomes comprehensible in the context of what we now know about the millennia-long tradition of goddess worship in prehistory. So it all comes together, the original great mother goddess, all the way down to our wonderful Mary. It's just all one, and that oneness includes all of us. So, thank you.
So much. What a great kickoff. So we'll see you all next Thursday. And if your name last name begins between A and G, would you please bring some snacks for us? Thanks so much. And pardon me? Repeat Alice's affirmation. Alice, can you repeat that affirmation? May I be able to honor myself, be who I am in the world, and express that power without fear. Okay. See you next week.